Hi, I'm Andrew Connell, and welcome back to the Partner Center SDK Developer Training Course. In this module, we're going to talk about Microsoft Azure, and specifically how we can manage users, manage resources, and do that using something called the Azure Resource Manager, or ARM setup inside of Azure. Let's go ahead and dive into it. So what we're going to discuss here is an overview of Microsoft Azure, and then we're going to manage users in Azure. We're going to provision resources, talk about how we can provision resources, look at some different tools that we have and resources related to the ARM model, and then how we can use ARM templates in Microsoft Azure. Let's first do an overview of what Microsoft Azure is all about. Now, unlike Office 365 that we've covered in other places in this course, Azure resources are usage-based. So what's different about that means that you are going to be paying based on your consumption. Each Azure resource has a different way of billing. It may bill by storage size, it may bill by throughput, it may bill by the amount of time that something is running. It really depends. Each one is going to be a little bit different, right? And it's going to have a little bit different rates. Rates can also be different, not just for each one of the different resources, but also across regions and also for different sizes within the regions. So for example, with storage, you may pay one rate for storage from, say, you may pay one rate per gigabyte for storage from 1 terabyte all the way up to 1 terabyte, and you may pay another rate of storage for everything above that from, say, 1 terabyte up to 49 terabytes, and then you may pay another rate for everything from, like, say, 50 terabytes to 100 terabytes. You're going to be paying each individual gig, but you see you may have different thresholds that you're paying for stuff. Once a subscription exists, once you have an Azure subscription, then you can create resources within your Azure subscription, and they can each be provisioned within that subscription. Now, how do we organize resources? Initially, Azure did not have this concept of resource groups, but we now have it, and it's actually a fundamental way of actually creating stuff. A resource group is a way that you can organize multiple resources together. It's commonly used for different projects or different deployments. For example, you may have a corporate website that might include a website, database, storage, maybe a CDN, and an Azure AD tenant. You may have one group for your production instance of that corporate website. You may have another resource group for your staging and another resource group for your developer environment. It really depends, right, how you want to set that up. This can be really useful for billing. Another way of organizing stuff is using tags. Tags are just a simple name value pair. You have a max of 15 tags per resource. You can apply each one of these tags to an individual resource. You can also view all of your resources by tags, because the tags will span across all of your resource groups. So resource groups are great for looking at everything inside that just one group, whereas tags can span across resource groups. If you want to see, like, say you use a tag for who the developer is that's in charge of this one thing. He may have stuff that he's responsible for across multiple projects, or she may be responsible for storage across multiple different resource groups. This is really useful for billing and for management of your different resources. Now, let's talk a little bit here again about the resource billing, about how billing works in Azure. All resources are going to be based on a consumption-based billing, meaning that you pay for what you use. Resources may have different rates for different usage in different regions. For example, as I was talking about before, let's look at the blob storage. As of the time of this recording, and prices change, so I want to make sure that we're clear that these are not the actual prices today. You should refer to Azure to see what the real pricing is for the current day. But they're going to charge 2.4 cents per gigabyte for the first 1 terabyte of storage in the U.S. East region. But if you look a little bit farther down, in Brazil, they charge 3.26 cents per gigabyte. So it's a little bit more expensive in Brazil. Why is that the case? We don't really know. I mean, in the case, it could be something like storage or the data center. The cost of running the data center is more expensive down in Brazil compared to it is on the East Coast of the U.S. Same thing between the East Coast of the U.S. and the West Coast of the U.S. Things may be different. We really don't know. But regardless, just keep in mind that depending on where stuff is deployed, you may have additional costs associated with it. And then you saw how pricing for the next 49 gigs, so from 0 up to 50 terabytes of storage, you'd be paying a lower rate. So for the first terabyte, it's 2.4 cents, but for everything above 1 terabyte up to 50 terabytes, that's going to be 2.36 cents per gigabyte. So just keep that in mind. The storage prices may change, And it's not just storage. It may be compute hours. It may be CDN. It really depends based on the resource. Now, how do we manage our resources? How do we manage things inside of Azure? Well, there's two different ways of doing this, two different models. The first way is called the Azure Service Management, or otherwise referred to as ASM. We now refer to this as the classic model. And this is the model that that Azure used for managing all of their stuff for a very long time. It wasn't until the last year or so that ARM became much more popular. What ARM is, ARM was introduced within the last couple of years, and it's the current way of managing your resources. Now, both of them still work today. Both of them are still totally applicable today. However, everything going forward is using the Azure Resource Management. You can think of the ASM model as simply legacy or there for backward support. Any new resources that Azure adds are not going to support the ASM model. Any new resources that Azure does add to the Azure platform, they will only support ARM. This is also why you see we still have two portals at the time of this recording. We have the portal that most people are familiar with, which is managed.windowsazure.com. That's where Azure AD lives. And then we also have the more blade-focused portal, which is portal.azure.com. Things in portal.azure.com must support the ARM templated model for building resources and for provisioning resources. The old portal does ASM. It does not support ARM. So services that you see in the older portal that are not in the newer portal, the reason that's the case is because the service does not support the new ARM model yet for the most part. There are only a few services like that, again, at the time of this recording, and Microsoft is working hard to get everything up to supporting ARM and moving over to the new portal completely. Now, one of the nice things about these two models, between ASM and ARM, is that you can call both of these using REST APIs. You can call them directly by calling the actual REST API, or you can call them indirectly. And what do I mean by being called indirectly? Well, here's the interesting thing. The way that everything in the portals work is by calling these REST APIs. They're calling their own APIs. In addition, everything that you see that we have access to for command line based interface using PowerShell or using the cross-platform command line interface, they use the REST APIs as well. So we can write our own code against those. We can also use the code with the command line interface, writing scripts with the command line interface, or writing scripts with PowerShell to do those same things. I'll show you a little bit later when we look at these working with these two different interfaces, how you can actually see the underlying REST calls, the requests and responses that are going to and from the endpoints using these different command line interfaces. Now let's first talk about managing users in Azure. Now in Azure, we have this thing called RBAC. Stands for role-based access control and enables fine-grained access management. We have users and groups within a subscription. Azure AD can be added to these different roles. So when you create a new subscription, you're going to get an Azure AD directory with it. You can then add users from those roles, from that Azure AD group, to different roles in Azure. Now, roles can be applied at various levels. You have roles at the subscription level. You have roles at the resource group level. And you may even have roles at the individual resource level. Different teams, such as the teams that are doing stuff for resources, they may have their own groups that they actually create, their own roles that they create too for different purposes. In this case here, we're going to really only be interested though in the built-in roles. There are three of those roles. There's the owner, there's the contributor, and there's the reader. The owner has full access to everything in that Azure subscription or at the scope of where this role is applied. They have full access to everything, including managing users inside these different roles. The contributor can create and manage all types of resources, but they can't manage any membership to the roles. So they can't handle the security side of things. The reader can't manage the security stuff. He can only view all the different resources. He can't make any changes to it. Now, if you understand users in Azure, users live within a customer's AAD tenant, an Azure AD tenant, and they must be explicitly granted permissions to manage the Azure resources. So even if a customer purchases an Azure subscription, they don't by default have access to do anything in that subscription. They try and log into it and they'll see that they can't do anything. There's no subscriptions listed. When partners create Azure subscriptions for customers, the partner admin agents group is assigned to the Azure subscription owner role for a customer's Azure subscription. So partners admin agents can manage the resources in the customer's Azure subscription. And the partner can grant users in the tenant. Now let's take a look at this and kind of diagram how this is set up. I'm gonna grab my little laser pointer here too, make it a little bit easier to follow some of this. Now, we see here over in the middle here, this big triangle, this is my customer, my Contoso customer. So he has this this group here called tenant admin, where he can go through and he can actually manage anything inside of his tenant. By default, he does not have any access, though, to manage these different resources, because this user is not in any of these roles inside of each of these two Azure subscriptions, nor are they inside of this, nor is this tenant admin group in those subscriptions. What we have to do, the user must be going to be assigned a role before he or she can manage the subscription. So I can either do that directly by coming over here to this user and granting them access to the owner role for them to be able to manage those resources, or I can have the partner do it for me. So here in this case, the partner is a partner for Contoso. When he created the Azure subscription, his admin agents group was already a member of the tenant admin, but his admin agents group is also added to the role of owner. When a CSP partner creates an Azure subscription for a customer tenant, the partner admin agents group is automatically assigned to the owner role. Now, that means that a user inside of the partner's AAD tenant, who is a member of the admin agents group, will have access, as you see here by this green dotted line, to be able to manage resources in Azure. In order for that user inside of the customer tenant to be able to do that, usually someone from the partner is going to go take that user and add them to the contributor role for that subscription. And here you can see the different resources associated with it. So let's see how we can go about managing users in the Azure Management Portal. So I'm going to switch over to a browser. And I'm going to go to portal.azure.com. All right. So from here, I'm going to go ahead and log in. And I'm going to log into my subscription here. Now, over on the left-hand side, you're going to see a option here for picking subscriptions. So I'll pick a subscriptions here, and it'll show me all the Azure subscriptions that my account has access to. And just give this a second for it to load. All right, so I have three subscriptions that are associated with my account. I'm going to pick this one right here. So I'm going to pick my Azure Trial. Now, this Azure Trial subscription, you see here I'm listed, it's got a little bit of information about my subscription. What I'm going to do is come over here and I click on these two little people here. And that's going to switch over to the access pane. So here I can see I have subscription admins. I'm an owner role, and this is inherited from above. If I go click on the different roles, you'll see a list of all the roles that are inside the subscription. You see we have the owner role, we see we have the contributor, we see we have a reader, and you see I don't have any users that are actually added to this, right? I'm by default added because I'm already in this one group that we just looked at a minute ago. But this is where I want you to take note of the fact that we have a bunch of additional roles here that are all listed. Now, these are all, again, these are all specific to each one of the resources. These are not things that I really want to focus on here because that's going to be going into the individual security for each one of these different roles. But in this case here, you can see where I can manage contributors and readers, and you can see what they do with this nice little overview. It explains all the stuff that's going on with each one of these. Okay, so that's how I would go about managing users and adding users to it. You'd come into the Azure portal, and you'd actually create these users. You'd add the users to these different groups. So I can come over here and go to the contribute group, and then I could say I want to add a new user. Click this, and I can go find a user by their email address and see a list of all these different emails that we have available to us. Okay, all right. Let's go back to our slides, and let's talk about provisioning resources. All Azure offerings are referred to as resources. That includes a virtual machine, that includes storage, website or web apps, databases. Some resources have dependencies. For instance, SQL databases need access to a SQL server. So when I go create a new SQL database, SQL Azure database, or Azure SQL database, it's going to ask me to pick a existing Azure SQL server that I want to put this database in. If I don't already have one, or I can choose to create a new one, right? If I have one, I can use an existing one, or I can create a new one. And it'll create the server for me first, and then it will create the database and add it to that server. Again, just to reiterate, unique billing per resource, per unit, per region. So the billing for each one of these different resources can be different per the different between how each one of them is set up, based on the regions, based on the units, all of that stuff. Resources are then going to be added to a resource group. So when I create a new resource inside the Azure Management Portal, it's going to ask me, what resource group do I want to put it in? Now, let me talk a little bit here about something called ARM. Now, we talked a little bit about what it was. I explained what it was, but let me talk about some of the different tools that are available to us. There are some really good tools to make things a lot easier in working with this. The first one is called the Azure Resource Explorer. It's at resources.azure.com. This is really slick because this is going to allow us to discover the different ARM APIs, the REST APIs. We can even get documentation on the APIs and make calls directly in our own subscriptions using this tool that's available to us. It's a really neat and interesting little tool. In fact, why don't we take a second and let's take a look at what this looks like. So I'm going to come over here and open up a new browser. And I'm going to go to resources.azure.com. And I'm going to go ahead and log in with my subscription so we can see some real stuff in there. Okay, so here this site's allowing us to see these different things. So you see here, these are all the different things that I have access to, all right? Now, I have providers, and I also have subscriptions. So in this case here, on my subscriptions, you just saw a second ago, I was on the Azure trial. So if I open up Azure trial, it's gonna show me a list of all my resource groups, and I have two different resource groups that are listed here. So I have one here that's for my developer VMs. What you see here is notice on the right-hand side, I have the full REST endpoint to be able to get this exact thing that I'm looking for right now. I'm issuing gets to do this stuff, but you can see I can even go through and even modify things. Here, I can even go over here and switch to the actions post. So if I want to go through and make changes to this, I can click over here on actions. Right now, I don't have it set up here because I'm only set for read only. I could switch it over to read write. And if I switch it over to read write, then when this refreshes here for this resource group, now notice for this resource group, I can actually make changes. So with actions post delete, I can modify the REST response here, and I can then go in and then say I either want to delete or I want to move these different resources, and I can pull them in and out of this, right? I'm gonna switch it back over to read, so I don't make any changes here by accident. The other thing to notice though is I can look inside of this resource group and find out what's inside of it, right? So if I go and open this guy up, see all the providers, you see I have a couple different things here. I have a bunch of resources. So if I open up the resources, I can see any deployments that I've done previously. In this case, I haven't done any deployments. See our test group if he has any deployments. So he has a bunch of providers. We have our resources. Let's pick our deployments. And we do have one deployment here. I have one where I've deployed a Linux-based virtual machine. Now, what's cool about all this stuff is that I can also come over here and I can look at what the PowerShell equivalent of this is. So it'll show me what the PowerShell script would be able to get that resource, to be able to do that exact same request, right? I can also come over here and look at the documentation for this as well. So if I click on documentation, it'll show me what stuff is going to come back. In this case, there's not a whole lot to show, but that would be where I'd be able to see it. So this is really cool here, being able to use this tool to not only be able to see with the REST API and do some exploring with the API and how things are organized, but we can also even use this to perform some actions and test things out without having to write some code and sending the JSON across from a custom app that we built. Let's go back over to our slides and let's talk about another option, and that's the cross-platform command line interface. So the cross-platform, let's just park that guy down here. So this is the link here is where you would actually get more information about the cross-platform command line interface. Now what this is that this today, this is written as a Node.js-based module. And so you would install this first on your machine. You first would install Node, and then you would install this using the Node Package Manager. So you'd install it using just npm install Azure. It's then going to install the command line interface, where then you can go into a command prompt, and you can write scripts to be able to do stuff and interact with Azure. You can write scripts using bash script. You can use the batch script using bat or a command file, or you can even write shell script files .sh if you're not on the Windows platform. So you have a couple different options of how this works. Let's take a second here and let's look at a demo of how this works. So I'm gonna switch back over here to my demo. And here I'm gonna open up a PowerShell interface here. Now, I'm just using PowerShell just as my command prompt. I don't have to use PowerShell. I could use anything for this. So I'm gonna come over here and I'm just gonna type Azure. Now I've already installed this, I've already installed the cross-platform command line interface. So when I run Azure, it's gonna write out this little thing here that you see that's gonna give me an interesting little header at the very top. So it's Azure, Microsoft Cloud Platform, gives me the version, and then some basic information about this. Now, what's interesting about this is that I first have to go and log in. Now, notice here where it shows my current mode is set to ARM. You want to keep that in mind, because if you're by default, it might pop up as the Azure Service Manager. And the way you would change that is by going into the config section here and changing the mode. So I'd say like Azure config. If I want to see what things I can do with config, I just do a dash H on the end. It's going to list it out. So you can see I can do Azure config list, Azure config set, Azure config mode. So I could say like Azure config mode, and then I do a dash H there to get more help on that specific one. And it tells me some information about this. So here it says the valid names are ARM or ASM. So I'll say Azure config mode set. ASM. All right. And now when I run Azure, notice at the very bottom it says I'm now set to the Azure Service Management mode, and notice how many commands are now missing because there's things that are not supported in this mode. We're going to switch that back to ARM. Now, the first thing I'm going to want to do is I'm going to go ahead and log in. So I'm going to say Azure login. Now, this uses a pretty interesting way of doing authentication. What this is going to have me do is go to this page right here at AKAMS device login, and then use this code that you see to be able to log in. So I'm going to copy that code. I'm going to come over here to Azure, and I'm going to go to AKAMS device login, and I'm going to paste in this code. Now, before I click continue, I just want to show you really quick. Notice over the PowerShell interface, you see this little animated thing spinning around. It's waiting to get an access token from Azure. So it's periodically checking Azure to say, can I get a token? Can I get a token? So now if I go back over here and I click continue, it's going to go ahead and prompt me to log in. And it says, you now may close this window. So when I close this window and I go back over here to the PowerShell interface, if we go to the console, if I give it just a minute, it should get the token and let me log in. So now you can see it went ahead and logged me in. And now I have access to everything. Right now, let's get a list of all of our accounts. So I'll say Azure account, and it's going to say, here's all the things you can do with Azure account. So I'll say Azure account, list all my accounts out. And so here it is listing all my accounts. Now notice it shows I have my three different subscriptions. Those are their IDs, and I can see which one I'm currently on. Right? If I don't want to currently, any actions I do now are going to be related to this subscription that I have highlighted. If I want to switch that to a different one, then all I would do is go grab the ID of one that I want to switch to. So we'll grab my consumption subscription, and I'll say Azure account set, and I'll paste that in. And now when I switch back and show the account list, notice that where my current one is now changed over to the consumption subscription. Okay. I don't want to do that. I'm going to actually put that back. So let's go back over here. I'll copy that, and I'll say Azure account set, paste that in. Okay. Now I could even do some stuff with resource groups. So I could say something like Azure group, and I'll ask it, what things can I do? And it gives me a long list. Let's just ask it for a list of all my resource groups. So I'll say Azure group list. And if you recall, we had two groups. We had a dev VMS and a test group 01 for those two different groups. Right? Now, this isn't the only stuff that you can do with this command line interface here. This is one of my favorite features of this. I can also say, I'm interested in working with JSON. And so what it will do is it will give me back the results as the JSON string that's coming back from the REST request. And so I could see the actual raw JSON that comes back. This is what I would end up modifying and submitting back to share to Azure if I want to make any changes. But better yet, I want to get some verbose information about this. So I just push like a dash V. It's actually writing out some more information to me. It's not much more in this case here, but you see verbose is listing the resource group that way. But there's actually another command that I can use here. If I use dash VV. Yeah. So what this just did, let's scroll up at the top here. Let me show you what we're looking at here. What this did is it's in verbose mode, but it also is listing out all the request options. So here is the actual URL that it made a request to. It did it as an HTTP GET. It didn't put anything on the query string. Here's the headers that it used, and no body was submitted. And then it's showing me the entire result that came back. So there's the body that came back, and then it goes out and actually parses the body out for me to see. This can be incredibly useful to figure out what things are happening. Like, for example, if I want to say, let's clear the screen here, and let's say Azure group, let's create a brand new group, and let's call this group our test group 02, and let's say the location of where this group is going to be created is East US. But let's put on the dash dash VV to be able to dash VV to see the REST request that's being made. So here it's going through and it's creating the group. The group has now been successfully created. So you can see here that if I scroll up a little bit, we are first going and issuing a request here. So it's getting a resource group, going and creating the resource group, and then it's requesting it. And you can see the resource groups. Here, I'm missing some of the scrolling over here. Let's go full screen on this so that I can use my scroll bar. So you see where it says test group, and we're still missing a little bit of the scrolling here just from, there you go, test group 02, and it's spinning that out, right? And then I can get a list of all my groups by just going Azure group list, and you'll see the second group that we just created, test group 02. I can also delete that group too. So let's delete both of these test groups here. So if I come over here and say, Azure group, can we do here? It's going to be Azure delete and passing in the name. So Azure group delete test group. Let's put this in quotes. Test group 01. Do you want to delete it? I say yes. And it's now deleting the resource group. Actions like this can take a little bit of time. So I think that what we'll do is, in the interest of time, we're going to go ahead and move on. Knowing that this resource group will ultimately get deleted. If you recall, this is the first resource group that I showed you in the browser a few minutes ago, and it had a Linux virtual machine in it, which also includes things like storage and a virtual disk and a virtual network and the actual compute instance for the virtual machine. So each one of those different resources in that group are also being deleted right now before the resource group can be deleted. So it just can take a few minutes for that to happen. So instead, we'll move on. So let's come back over here to the slides, and let's talk now a little bit about using Azure PowerShell with ARM. Just like we saw the command line interface a moment ago, we also have Azure PowerShell as another way that we can use, or we can use Windows PowerShell to talk to Azure. What you're going to need to do is install the Azure PowerShell module in order to be able to use this. You can then script things with your PS1 files if you wanted to. So let's jump over to PowerShell, and let's take a look and see how this works. We're still deleting the other resource. I'm going to go ahead and start up a new instance of PowerShell. Okay. So here, I'm going to say, I've already got Azure PowerShell already installed. So the first thing I want to do is I'm going to want to log in. So I'm going to say log in Azure RM account. So I'm logging in using the Azure Resource Manager. I'm going to say log in Azure Resource Manager account. Now, what this is going to do is issue a challenge for me to go ahead and log in. So I'm going to use my login to get into the same Azure account. We see this little pop-up kind of come back and forth a few times here, but ultimately it goes away. And you see there now I have access to my Azure subscription. It's giving me the tenant ID of where I logged in, so my Azure AD tenant, and the subscription ID. I can then go through and start asking a bunch of things. So I could say things like get Azure RM subscription. You gotta spell it right. Azure RM subscription. And that'll give me a list of all my Azure subscriptions, right? And it looks very much the same way as we were looking at it in the other interface, the command line interface, just a minute ago. Well, let's try as a table here. A little bit easier to read. All right. So we'll cancel that one and we'll just keep moving on. Now let's say if I wanted to move over to a different subscription. So like, what is the current subscription I'm on, and I want to move over to a different one. One way I could do that is by saying get Azure RM subscription, and I'm passing the subscription name equal to Azure trial secondary. So that's going to do my little filter, and then I could pass in to select Azure RM subscription So I could pipe that response I get back for that single subscription, pipe that down to the next command prompt to actually move on, to actually change the subscription that I'm currently on. All right, so now you see I'm on this subscription, the F502, and we can see up here that's the subscription for this one. I can also get a list of all the resource groups like you saw a minute ago. So I could say get Azure RM resource group, and it'll give me a list of all my resource groups. And you can see here that the one that we deleted in the last demo, it's still in the process of being deleted. So they're still, Azure's still working on that, okay? So you can see here there's a lot of stuff that we can do. We have two different interfaces, or three different interfaces, really. We have the REST API and a nice website to be able to play with it. We have the Azure command line interface, and then you also have the PowerShell interface to do all of this stuff. So let's jump back to our slides. And let's now talk a little bit about Azure templates. This is a really cool concept. What you'll find when you're building stuff in Azure is that you frequently have a lot of, you can have a lot of different resources that you need to create for a project. And so you want to be able to like template it out, almost have like a desired state of what your project should look like. Azure-based applications commonly require a combination of resources, such as if you're building a website, you're going to need a web server, some storage, a database server for a database, stuff like that. These templates are going to enable you to provision, to create a provisioned deployment in a single coordinated operation. It's greatly going to simplify your provisioning process. Two of the really cool things about this is that these templates are all based on JSON files. So you create a JSON file that you can specify the entire template, which means your entire configuration can be versioned under source control. Furthermore, you can also have outputs to your provisioning process, and you can also have parameters so that you have input variables that you want to pass in. For instance, you'll see in a little bit when we go to create a virtual machine using a template, it's going to allow me to pass in the username and password for the admin account, as well as the DNS name for the server, and the version of the software that I want to install on it. Templates are JSON files that are smaller than 1 meg, and they specify resources needed for the deployment. And like I said, you can also pass in input parameters to define some variability in your template. Visual Studio provides some really cool tools to assist in this template authoring. So here's what the schema looks like. And again, this is a very cut down version of it. The schema has you have the content version, but then you have parameters, variables, resources, and outputs. The resources are the things that are going to be created, and they're created in the order that they're specified here in the template. You're also going to create variables. So you can also create, we can create variables and parameters that can also be passed in. Right? Now, how do we provision templates with PowerShell? Pretty simple. What here I'm going to do, I'm going to define a couple different variables here. So I have a deployment name called test deployment. I have a resource group name called Contoso Corp Virtual Machine. I have a location name of East US, and I have a template URI, and I'm just passing in the URL to my actual template. So what I'm going to do is create a new resource group. So in this case here, I have a new resource group I'm creating in a specified location, and then I'm going to create a new deployment for that resource group. I'm giving it the resource group name, the deployment name, and the URI of the template. I may pass in additional things too in order to go through and pass in things like parameters. Here's how I do the exact same thing, but using the Azure command line interface. So here you see I'm going to Azure group create, and then I'm going to Azure group deployment create, passing in the name of the template, the group, and the URL for the template. So how do you provision templates with REST API? So here's what the REST request looks like. You're going to issue an HTTP put to management.azure.com, and then you're going to include things like the subscription, the resource group name, any providers that you're going to pass in. So here I'm passing in the resource provider for ARM. I'm passing in the name of the deployment, and then I'm also specifying the version of the API. The body of the request is either a link to the template or it's the actual template, and I'm passing across as a JSON request. This request must be authenticated using the access token that you obtain from an app that you've registered in Azure AD. We've seen how to do that in previous modules with working with Partner Center. This needs an extra permission for what's called the Azure Service Management, Azure Service Management API. So here's what the payload looks like that I'm going to be sending across. Let's say in this case here, I'm sending it a link to some different things like the template.json and the parameters.json files. I don't want to go through and actually pass in those different values. I actually want to pass links to different files. And so this will tell Azure, go fetch these things from an anonymous request. As far as the properties go, the template is the entire contents of an ARM template. So if I don't want to go through and use the links to different to a template or to the parameters file, I can actually pass the entire template in the payload. This would be handy if I'm actually have some sort of a tool that will allow people to create the template on the fly and see how to create the template on the fly with some tool, and then it would go create the resources for me. Now, once I go through and I create a deployment, I then want to be able to grab the deployment operations, the status of the deployment operation. So here I'm going to go to the actual deployment, and when I call slash operations, I can get back a list of all the different of the log entries that are going along with this. Now, here's what's cool about this. Microsoft has created, along with the community, a bunch of templates. And when I say a bunch, I mean a ton. The provisioned resources, you can provision resources by changing the input parameters and by deploying templates straight from the GitHub repo that Microsoft is maintaining. A public GitHub repository is available to you with a searchable index on a specific Microsoft Azure site at azure.microsoft.com/documentation/templates. Okay, why don't we see how to do this in action? So I'm going to switch over back over to PowerShell in the browser. And what I want to do is I'm going to go to that site. That site was azure.microsoft.com/documentation/templates. And here we see a list of all these different templates that are available to us. Some of these are really interesting. Like, let's say we'll just pick one at random here. How about this Influx blockchain on Ubuntu? So here, I'm going to come over here, and you see I have a list here of the parameters that are required for this. And then it shows some information about how to go provision this using PowerShell or using the command line interface, right? Now, I'm gonna scroll up here and go to learn more on GitHub. What this does is it takes me to the GitHub repository of its Azure Quick Start templates, and it takes me to specifically to this actual template. If I scroll down here, what you'll see is two buttons. One's a deploy to Azure and one's visualize. So if I pick deploy to Azure, it's actually going to go provision this template in my, it's gonna prompt me for some questions, but then it's like what resource group I wanna use and stuff like that. But it's going to go ahead and go create the template for me. So you see here we have the actual template itself at Azure Deploy, and then there's the deployparameters.json. If I click on this visualize button here, though, look what this does. Oh no! Oh, here we go. It's coming up now. There we go. A little scary. What it's doing is it's pulling the template on the fly. If you look at the URL, you can kind of see where it's looking at raw GitHub content, pulling a specific JSON image, and you can see that this template has defined all of this stuff. We have a virtual machine that has a storage account. That's where our virtual disk is going to reside. You also have a virtual network that's been set up. Here's our network there, and there's our public IP. So you can see how the dependencies have all been set up here. Now, here's what's neat about this. I can come over here, and I can actually look at this template. I can double-click into some of these things, and I can see the actual template associated with it to see any kind of changes here, and even click validate to make sure if things are good. Now, what I can also do though, is I can download the template onto my machine. So if I click that, I now have the template right here to where I can make some changes to it. And then I can also edit the parameter definitions by opening this up, modifying the different deployed values, and even save that parameter file onto my local machine. So let's do this in action. Here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go find a particular, let's go back to our site here. And let's go to, we're going to find a specific template here. And our template is going to be /templates. Let's go to 101-vm-simple-linux. I'll just do that. All right. So from here, I'll take this template. And let's go over here to learn more on GitHub. And we're going to scroll down a bit farther and click the visualize button. All right. So here's our template. What I want to do is I want to go through and define the parameter definitions for this, because we're going to want to use the cross-platform command line interface to go spin up a new resource group that has this template in it. So we're going to use our account username. It'll be just be Andrew Connell. Our admin password is going to be super secure, password 1! Exclamation point. Our DNS label prefix. Now, I'm going to do something that I know is wrong here, but I want to show you how we're going to figure it out. So I'm going to do my Ubuntu VM. So if anybody's watching that and they're going, wait a minute, it's not going to work. I'm like, I know. So just give me a sec. I'm going to copy this. Just use the default value for that's my deployment value that I want to use. And I'm going to save this down to my local machine. Oh, hold on. Didn't save it. That saved it up there. Ah, that's not what I wanted. Let's try that again. That was supposed to save it local. Paste that one in. My Ubuntu VM. Username is Andrew Connell. Password is password one. And then I'll download these. Okay, there's my parameters.json file. Okay, so I'm going to cancel out of this. And let's go back to, we have our template listed here. Here's what the template looks like. So Azure VM, and I'm just gonna go to the raw view of it. And then there's the entire view of our template. It's gonna create everything that we need here, right? And you see a couple parameters coming in. Here is our username, our password, our label prefix, and our OS version Ubuntu that we wanna use, okay? So let's come back over here, and I'm gonna use the cross-platform command line interface. So let's make sure we're logged in. See Azure account list. Okay, we're still logged in. We're going to use that Azure trial secondary that we're currently on. All right. So what I'm going to first do is I'm going to say Azure group create, pass in the name of new VM group, and the location is going to be East US. Now, just for kicks, why don't we come over here and why don't we also open up our portal so we can actually see this resource group get created. So I'll switch over to my subscriptions. I will pick our secondary subscription here. We should see, that's my resource, add a group. Not letting me see my groups here. That's okay, we'll just go over here to all resource groups. And this is showing us all the different subscriptions. I only wanna see secondary. There we go. So you can see those are the resource groups that we currently have. So let's come back over here to PowerShell, and I'm gonna first go create this resource group. All right, so it says a resource group was created. Let's just verify that. Come back over here, we'll refresh, and there's our resource group that we just created. Fantastic. Now, the next thing I want to do is I want to actually provision my template. So the way I'm going to do this is I'm going to come over here and say Azure group deployment create. I'm going to pass in the name of the group is new VM group. I'm going to say the name of the deployment is Ubuntu VM 01. I'll just Ubuntu VM. My parameters file is located in the C users slash me slash downloads slash parameters file. There, JSON, make sure it actually got it all. And then I'm gonna pass in the template URL to the actual template that I wanna provision. And I'm gonna tell Azure, go use the one that you'll find right here. I'm gonna copy this, come back over here and paste him in. And let's quote that actually. Actually, I don't need to quote that. And I'll hit enter. And I'll let this run. Oh, it didn't like that. Oh, it's not template URL, it's template URI. Common mistake. There we go, template URI. So now it's creating the deployment, it's running. Now I expect to get an error here, which I did. So why did I get an error? So it says, well, hey, you got some errors here. There's a deployment, it's not valid according to validation procedure, da 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 da. There's your error. Okay, let's go find our error. So I'm gonna show you how I can go find this error. So I'm gonna open up my Azure error file here, and I'm gonna start from the bottom because that's when the most recent error happened. And it says here, so there's the actual error, the stack error that it actually spit back out here. See inner error for exception for details. Let's just scroll up a little bit more and see if we can see anything. The error, so there's the error right there. There's the body of the error message that came back, and it says, see inner error message. Here we go. invalid domain level. The domain level of MU, Ubuntu VM, is invalid. It must conform to the following regular expression. Okay, if you can see that, it's a little tough to read because of the break line there. Actually, let's do this. Let's go like this. There you go. There's the whole regular expression that ends right here. So check that out. Here's the error that we had. It says that this label right here is invalid that we used. If you look at that regular expression, what's the problem? The problem is I have capital letters in there. You can't put capital letters in. You can see that only lowercase letters are allowed. So why don't we go fix that? I'm going to come over here, back over to the downloads, and I'm going to open up that parameters.json file, and let's change this to my Ubuntu VM, save that setting. I'll come back over here into PowerShell. I'm going to run the exact same thing. Let it create the deployment. And this is going to take a second for this to run. But if I come back over here to my to the Azure portal and I go into the, our group here, you can see that it's currently in the deploying state. It's created a public IP. It's created a virtual network here. And now it's doing, can't really see exactly what it's doing right now. But I do know that what it is doing is it's going through and it's creating probably a storage account. And then it's also going to be creating our it's going to create our storage account, and then it's going to create the virtual hard disk, and then go create the virtual machine and run that. So let's refresh this and see how it's doing. Yep, there we go. Still deploying, but you can see there's our storage account. There's the virtual network. So there's the other thing it had, or the virtual NIC. So it's creating a storage account. Oh, storage account's done, and it looks like it's creating the VM, so it's still deploying it. Should almost be finished here. Still going, let's let it go. Let's see how far along we are. Deploying. Still deploying. That's fine, it's probably creating the virtual machine right now. So here we can see the list of the logs, what's going on. So it's created the NIC, it's creating VM. And still working on it. But you get the picture, right? So that's how we can go about creating things using the Azure Resource Manager and using these different groups here. So everything is very simple when you're using the Azure Resource Manager templates to go through and to create these different provision things. We're seeing a lot of companies too actually use this to set up demos for their applications where they can have a template and then they contribute that template to the main gallery. You can then go take a look at that template, and because of the way that Microsoft has set up that site, when I can just go say click deploy to Azure, and it can stand up a virtual machine or all the other resources I need for Azure to make this setup work. It's pretty slick stuff. Microsoft is also working on a way to reverse engineer a template. So I know that's something that's been added to their user voice site. And they are actually working on that now, to where I could go to a resource group and say, build a resource template, build an Azure ARM template for this interface. All right. So if I jump back to my slides, let's go ahead and let's wrap up the module. In this module, we talked about working with the Azure Resource Manager and ARM templates to create and provision new resources. We saw how to also manage users with Azure to go through and to add them to the owners of the contributors group. We saw how to provision resources. We saw some ARM tools and resources. And then we also saw how to use the ARM templates to create new resources. So with that wraps up our module. Stay tuned for another module on the Partner Center SDK developer training.